In a statement, President Obama says designating the bulk of our Arctic water and certain areas in the Atlantic Ocean as indefinitely off-limits to future oil and gas leasing is necessary to build a strong Arctic economy. The president adds that the risks of an oil spill in this region are significant. The move is a last-minute push for Mr. Obama's environmental legacy.
Another executive has left Twitter. Adam Messenger, who is chief technology officer, is leaving just weeks after its chief operating officer resigned. Twitter shares have lost 23% of their value this year.
The deal announced by a federal judge Tuesday covers the last 80,000 diesel vehicles involved in the scandal. U.S. Justice Department Assistant Attorney General John Cruden.
We're taking the steps toward holding Volkswagen accountable for its violations of the law and what we consider to be their breach of the public trust.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. It's 5:07, and today is Wednesday, December 21st. It's Dave Plyer in for Steve Grzanich here on The Opening Bell on 720 WGN. On The Opening Bell this morning, Justin Kolubsek, a managing partner of Nisik Digital, joins us to talk about the growing power of social media and how it can positively impact your business. Also, Kelly Stickle from Remodista will also join us this morning. All that is coming up after we check the WGN Associated Bank market desk this morning. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are up this morning. European stocks are mixed. The Nikkei slipped 0.3%. Oil is also trading up this morning at $52.33 a barrel. And the Dow is on track for the seventh straight week of gains. We have some business news happening around the world yesterday and overnight. Our parent company, Tribune Media, announced Tuesday a deal to sell its Gracenote video, music, and sports business to Nielsen for $560 million in cash. Tribune said it was selling off nearly all of its digital and data business to focus on its core television entertainment business. They said it will use the expected $500 million in after-tax proceeds from the deal to repay debt. Separately, Tribune said it plans to pay a special dividend of about $500 million during the first quarter of 2017 and expects to continue executing its share repurchase program, which currently has $168 million remaining. In a bid to bolster its chances to buy Rite Aid, Walgreens Boots Alliance, and Rite Aid said Tuesday that they plan to sell hundreds of Rite Aid locations to Fred's Inc. for $950 million. The sale of the 865 stores gets the green light from regulators. Fred's would instantly become one of the biggest pharmacy chains in the U.S., and Walgreens' year-long quest to merge with its drugstore rival would move closer to its goal of the deal closing at the start of the year. Investors seem pleased by the move. Shares in Fred's soared and Rite Aid soared as well. Walgreens saw a more modest uptick. U.S. stocks rose on Tuesday with the Dow nearing 20,000, a level it has never been breached, in a rally fueled by optimism about President-elect Donald Trump's policies. The NASDAQ and Dow Jones Industrial Average had its fresh intraday records, with the blue chip index just 25 points short of scaling this historic mark. Online retailer Amazon.com plans to open new fulfillment centers in Illinois and Michigan. The announcement came Tuesday about the Seattle-based online retailer's plans. The company and Illinois officials said in a statement, Amazon plans to open two fulfillment centers in Aurora, Illinois, and the project is expected to add more than 1,000 full-time jobs. The company currently has Illinois fulfillment centers operating in Edwardsville, Joliet, and Romeoville, with another fulfillment center under construction in Monee. During the past 2 years, Amazon has announced 8 fulfillment centers in Illinois. Cranes has reported that after rising for 6 straight years, spending on Chicago area commercial and residential construction projects is expected to drop in 2017 amid a cooling apartment market. Residential construction starts are estimated to drop 27% in 2017 from $7.5 billion this year, the biggest volume since before the last recession in 2006, with multifamily starts plunging 48%. Non-residential construction, a category that includes everything from office buildings to schools, is expected to rise 22% to $5.6 billion this year. Gas prices across the country are on the rise as the holiday travel season draws near. Prices at the pump have already reached the highest level since October. In the wake of OPEC's plans to reduce all oil production next year, the national average has increased 21 of the past 22 days, climbing about 12 cents over that span to 2.2 $2.25 a gallon on Tuesday. Every state has left the sub-$2 club, which was about a dozen strong at the start of December. State of Illinois has been losing population since 2014. On net, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. The 2016 population estimates for states and the nation were released yesterday. Illinois, almost 12,000 from 2013 to 2014, an additional 28,000 from 2014 to 15, and now the largest net loss of 37,508 from 2015 to 2016. Illinois lost the largest number of residents among all 50 states, representing less than 1% of the Illinois population. So this morning, Chicago-based Remodista is a social think tank examining disruption in global retail. Their mission is to provide insight, education, and innovation to global brands through collaborative research and analysis. Their committee of great minds includes executives from Coach, Kate Spade, Zazzle, The Vitamin Box, Keds, New York & Company, among others. The author also launched a customized retail lookbook earlier this month. The lookbook highlights 3 years of research and insights from leaders in retail technology across the globe. Kelly Stickle is the founder of, and CEO of Remodista, and she joins us this morning. Good morning to you, Kelly.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. You know, you launched this company, Kelly, back in 2010. What brought you to the decision to start this organization?
Well, I was working in management consulting at Acuity Group, and I was noticing in retail that we were starting to put educational events around mobile. And as we were putting those events together, I noticed some glitches in the market. Like, I didn't see a lot of women on the stage, and I didn't understand where the education was. And so I started on my own path to really figure out how to connect all the dots in business around retail.
I like to look back at individuals' early experiences in business. What was your first job? What was your first job in the market, and what did you learn from that?
My first job was a recruiter, and I think I learned it was a really good seat to look at all the different roles within business and how they work together, and the tasks and the characteristics that it takes to do each job.
Did you have a mentor along the way that really made an impact on you?
My mother was an engineer at Boeing, and so I always sort of looked at her for guidance in career, but I always find strong mentors and role models to help me through specific areas in my career.
Now, you are focused, as you mentioned, on collaborating specifically with women leaders, aiming for executive and advisory board roles. You've noted that women leaders were largely missing from the first wave of online technology development in the 90s, early 2000s. And there's a great opportunity for both men and women to hear how female executives are thinking about innovation and digital transformation now.
Yes. Well, what I've noticed is I did start this group using community as a business model and really drove a purpose to educate brands and cultivate women leaders. What I found is the women leaders that are attracted to what I'm doing are insatiably curious about solving business challenges in general. So what I've noticed is it is a gift for us to look at how these executive women are thinking through disruption, because it's just a little different than we're used to. They're thinking through things differently.
Well, in your opinion, what needs to change for more women to succeed in business and in a higher leadership role?
Well, there's a few things. In our community, you know, as we develop the content, we're pulling in executive leaders, women leaders who are actually solving those challenges. So really tying yourself to, you know, the challenge is tying yourself to the work you do that makes the business more successful, but giving yourself that recognition. I think women don't always seek out shining a spotlight on the work they do, and that's one of the key components in moving up in business.
What's some of the tips to do that?
Some of those tips are when you're coming up with ideas in business, that you're solidifying them with experts you know internally, and then when you're coming out into the business with your statements, that you're owning those ideas.
Well,
probably the key one.
And if you don't do any PR for yourself, I mean, that's kind of a travesty. You've got to kind of put yourself out there as well.
Well, and women aren't normally, where we see a really nice opportunity right now is the Internet of Things. It's complex. There's a lot happening. But the women that are focused on that, their heads are down. They don't predominantly look for a stage to tell us what they're doing. They're solving the problem. So really, we have to get her head up. And the point for that is so that young women see their reflection. It isn't so much for her. She'll be inspired that it's for others.
Gotcha. Well, we are talking to the founder and CEO of Remarisa, Kelly Stickle, and there's more after a look at your early morning traffic. State player in for Steve Grzanich here on the opening bell this morning. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, we are following some stocks after some earnings reports came out yesterday. FedEx delivered fiscal second quarter earnings Tuesday that missed Wall Street expectations while barely beating on revenue. Shares of the shipping company fell 3% as FedEx reported adjusted earnings of $2.80 a share on revenues of $14.9 billion. One big factor Wall Street will be looking at is the impact of e-commerce and how the surge in package volume during the holiday season is affecting the margins of FedEx's ground business segment. The company has recently been investing heavily to handle capacity. General Mills reported lower than expected quarterly profit and sales hurt by weak demand for its Yoplait yogurt and Progressive soups in the United States, its biggest market. Shares of the Cheerios breakfast cereal maker, which also slashed its 2000 organic sales forecast, is also looking a little grim. General Mills expects 2017 sales, excluding acquisitions and divestitures, to decline 3-4% from 2016. It had previously anticipated sales would be flat to down 2%. Nike sales rose 6% during the fiscal second quarter to $8.18 billion. Earnings per share came in at 50 cents, topping the consensus that called for profit at 43 cents a share. CarMax's fiscal third quarter results weren't entirely satisfying for investors, but they had some good aspects to them. Sales climbed 4.4% to $3.7 billion, which was slightly slower than the 6% growth rate that most of the following the stock we're looking to see. However, net income climbed at a slightly higher 7% pace to $136 million, and that produced earnings of 72 cents per share, 2 cents higher than the consensus forecast among investors. It's now 5:21, time for Wall Street Now from ABC News.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. The Dow Jones on Tuesday reached its 17th record closing high since Election Day, gaining 91 points to finish at 19,974. During the trading session, the Dow came within 13 points of the 20,000 milestone. The S&P 500 gained 8 points to close at 2270, just shy of its peak, and the NASDAQ rose 26 points, hitting its record of 5483. Walgreens is working to close its $9.4 billion purchase of Rite Aid early next year. The deal's been held up by concerns from federal antitrust regulators, so the nation's largest and third largest drugstore chains will be selling 865 stores. And a suburban Chicago man is suing McDonald's restaurants in two Illinois counties, arguing cheeseburger extra value meals are actually more expensive than when the items are purchased separately. James Gertie says that bundling two cheeseburgers, medium fries, and a drink is 41 cents more than when the individual items are purchased. Gertie, a bus driver, says his lawsuit is about principle, not the money. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Dave Player on the opening bell this morning on 720 WGN. We're talking to Kelly Stickle. She's the founder and CEO of Remarisa. Kelly, your company mission is to help retailers prepare for the future, look at what's happening now and what is about to happen or what will soon happen. How does this process begin typically with a client? They come to you and you put a team together?
Yeah, we have a pretty large retail executive community at this point. And as they're challenged over the years, you know, they bring me their challenge. And what I do is find other experts who are working on the same challenge and pull us together. Kind of on-demand problem solving.
Now, I read some of your papers that are online. You talk about experiential marketing. We live in such a visual world. Businesses used to have about 15, 20 seconds to get the attention of the ever-elusive customer, and that has now become about 6% of the time. How do you put together a plan for each of these companies?
Well, I think one thing that we learned is as technology is breaking and we're going global, that each company is going to customize a different experience for their customer. So really it is to understand how the different areas of business are changing. You know, mobile is becoming the first screen that people use. You know, that's changing business in general. If you think about it, it's changing how the inside of retail is working in their organization, and it's changing how you, the consumer, look for a product. So they're dually challenged.
Do you feel at some point that some of these retailers, you know, because things are changing so fast in the world of marketing and social media and advertising online, that they're a little cautious about making a move and kind of transferring some of those dollars to those areas?
Well, I think it's we're past should I do it. It's now you should
you
do it
to.
If you want to succeed.
Right.
Yeah, and so
right.
Mobile is first. That is changing. You know, people are – customer experience is becoming the focus for retailers versus the transaction. So, you know, giving me an enjoyable experience that surprises and delights me, whether I'm on my phone, in the store, or online.
Yeah, do you notice that brand loyalty probably isn't that as important as it used to be, you know, having brand names or having that recognition? It is more about the experience, and they really don't care who it's coming from as long as it's a successful experience.
Well, I think that the common customer wants a seamless experience, and some of the older, more traditional retailers are having a hard time figuring out exactly what they can do to get there. And some of their customers will, so, you know, like swipe left, go somewhere else if mm-hmm. they can't have that experience
right.
With that brand. So you were right in some ways that brand loyalty is going to have to, you know, equate to, you know, your digital seamlessness.
Let's talk a little bit about the lookbook that you just put out. What kind of data will we find in there?
Well, what we heard from our customer, our retailers, that the white paper, the long, complex papers, are really hard to work through and understand. And many times the experts also saying something in a complex language. What we really tried to do is break down business challenges one by one and talk through them in a simplified manner. What we've seen is the actual education of what is happening is largely missing in our environment.
And what are some of the trends that we can expect to find in 2017 in regards to retail disruption, and what products should we expect to see out there?
Okay. Well, trusted community is going to be the future, looking and knowing who you're talking to and where you're buying things. We see the blogger or the influencer will matter more than celebrity. Also, like you said, customer experience will override the transaction. Mobile will continue to push to the top. We'll see a lot of video and voice versus typing. You know, longer term, I think we're looking for videos get 4 times more clicks than a regular link. And then IoT, you know, customer experience is going to become the focus of a brand, but the Internet of Things, the way that we can start measuring the machine-to-machine or human-to-machine experience is going to exceed mobile usage as we look into 2020. So really wrapping our arms around the different ways and the different touch points that our customer can come into the brand is going to grow exponentially.
And this is all in the lookbook that you can find through remodista.com. I want to ask you one more question. You know, you run mm-hmm. a small business. You built this business 6 years ago. If someone came to you for advice about a startup and to start their own company, what advice would you give them based on what you've learned?
Well, I think that, you know, for me, I'm building a business on new ideas and new things that have happened, which makes it a little more challenging than having that product that people know. But I think that if you're building a business from scratch, you have to have the wherewithal and the passion to get it over the mountain. So, you know, that's probably the first thing that I would say as an advice. And then also, you know, building a business, you're not always popular with your thoughts, especially if you're pushing new ideas. And so the idea that not everyone's going to like what you're doing, you have to be okay with that too. Those are two important things I don't know that people look at as they're growing something new.
Kelly Stickle, she's the founder and CEO of Remodista. And for more, you can visit remodista.com. Look for the lookbook as well. Thank you, Kelly. Happy holidays to you.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Vic Vaughn, good morning to you.
Good morning, Dave. Hey, coming up, we're hearing that German officials may have a new suspect in the Berlin attack, Dave, so we'll have our report on that next.
Wonderful. Thanks, Vic. You are listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN. It's 529.
From ABC News, tech trends, the most Googled topics of 2016, paint an odd picture of our national obsessions. What are you looking at?
And we will make America great again.
Aside from endless searches for information about Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and the overall presidential election, for many, the answer was Pikachu and other Pokemonsters. Pokemon Go was among the most Googled topics in 2016. The top DIY searches asked Google how to play Pokemon Go, register to vote, and believe it or not, how to make
slime?
Kids are learning basic principles of science through making really fun things like slime.
The top actor searched was Brad Pitt.
That's just a no-brainer to me.
The top actress was Meghan Markle, not for her role in Suits, but for her suitor, Prince Harry. And the top calorie count searches may reflect the deep divisions in our country, Big Mac, Coors, and quinoa. Karen Chase, ABC News.
WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
And good morning to you. It's Dave Plyer in for Steve Grzanich on this early Wednesday morning. Did you know that social media marketing has 100% higher lead-to-close rate than outbound marketing, or that 84% of business-to-business marketers use social media in some form? No matter what you sell and who you sell it to, using social media as a marketing tool can help you grow your brand. You'd be surprised at how many businesses still to this day do not budget or engage in any social media. So to talk about the growing power of social media and how it can grow your business and some predictions for 2017 is Justin Kolovsek. He's the managing partner of Nessek Digital. Good morning to you, Justin.
Morning, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Now, tell us a little bit about your company first.
Yeah, so we've been around for about 5.5 years. During that time, we have gone from being just about social media into also digital video and live streaming.
Now, how important, and I know the answer to this question already because you know what I do for a living, so just a little disclosure, I do host weekends on the station, but I also am CEO of a company called Retail First Corp, and so we're a retail environment company, but we also do some of these things as well. How important is social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Snapchat, among others, in marketing your business and getting the word out?
Yeah, so I think for social media, it's your direct connection to the consumer.
Yeah.
You can automatically get your message out there, push that message out there, but you can also have that dialogue with the consumer. So in the good times and the bad, you can sometimes fix things. You can also, make things – you can always make things better on.
It's a powerful tool that reaches consumers faster and more than conventional marketing strategy. You can't have a conversation with a direct mail piece that came in the mail. Over 1.5 billion Facebook users out there, 4.5 likes that are generated daily, 400 million Instagram users, 320 million Twitter users, 70 million active Pinterest users. The reach is instantaneous.
It absolutely is. I think, again, it's for especially a smaller business starting out.
Yeah,
it's great because it is one of these things where when people don't have a huge marketing budget, they could get started on it. For the larger companies, if they're not already doing it, it's a little shame on them. But it's definitely one of those where they have to do this because their consumers, their users are constantly on social media.
And you come across this all the time. Smaller businesses don't understand it, especially if you're dealing with somebody who is in an older generation or older demographic. They don't understand it, so they don't get the importance of it. And what they don't understand, they generally don't gravitate towards. So how do you convince somebody that that is an important tool for them to use than traditional marketing?
Yeah, I think it all depends on the costs that they can actually, do they have this gigantic marketing budget? No, they don't. So let's move to social media. If that's the case and they've never done it, start small.
Yeah.
Don't try to do, if people
posting
all the
three
time,
to four times a day, you just,
people constantly are trying to jump from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram,
yeah,
so on. And really it's all about, hey, start small, start slow, but keep engaging content.
Yeah, it has to be consistent. You cannot start doing it and then completely stop for weeks
Correct.
At a time. You have to have that consistent conversation with somebody. 71% of consumers who receive a quick, effective brand response are more likely to recommend that brand to somebody else. Some quick stats here. 70% of marketers say that social media marketing has increased their brand awareness. 90% of consumers make their purchases based on reviews they see on social media. 78% of consumers say that retailers' social media posts impact their purchasing decisions. And people have to understand, it's not just about posting and posting offers online. You're trying to tell a story and engage with that individual about your brand. Because what you have to do when you like something and you like a page, you're trying to make your business part of their everyday lifestyle.
Yeah. The one of the biggest issues that I see are that people, small businesses especially, will try to just promote their brand. And instead of being that content that people want to see,
yeah,
consumers are getting smart about social media.
Yeah.
And they really understand, hey, I'm being given a commercial left and right.
Right.
And instead, here's some really authentic content about, you know, as we're getting ready for the holiday season, here's five things that you can do to, you know, when you're shopping this year, instead of just come to our store and buy something. I think that's something that consumers are really getting smart about.
Simple study. There was a rental company that that rented parties and party equipment and so forth that I read about, that all they did every single day was talk about their deals, what they had to offer, and they forgot about engaging with the consumer. Give me some great tips on a party. Give me some recipes. Show me some pictures. We talk about images or a million words on social media these days and online and Instagram and Snapchat. Show me what you've done in the past. Show me some great parties. Inspire me in some way. And that's what really it's all become. Facebook Live is used more and more by businesses to tell their story. Earlier this week, Facebook announced that it plans to roll out this 360-degree video for Facebook Live users in 2017. They've lagged behind YouTube, who rolled out this video a couple weeks ago. But live chat is very different, and it really engages consumers in a whole different way. It's something that people would rather see more of, I think.
Yeah, no, the consumers definitely are catching on with Facebook Live. I think it's one of these things right now where, especially with all that's gone on with the 2016 election, where yeah. people are asking about, you know, is this fake news? We've heard a lot yeah. about that lately.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, for a brand to come out with this very authentic video, where people are communicating directly with that person, they're seeing, could be seeing us right now talking.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And so it's just, it's another way for them to connect. And again, really show, wow, that's what's going on.
And you have to remember, too, Facebook Live or any video that you put out there, there's some businesses that will fight you on this. And I'm sure, and we've talked about this, is that they want to do 2, 3 minutes, 5 minutes of video, 7 minutes of video. The attention span of anybody watching this on their phone is far shorter.
Absolutely. The average attention span for anyone on social media, it's the news feed. It's the swipe.
Yeah.
It's the, are you engaging at that minute?
It's about 10 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The minute that they swipe up, you're gone.
It's over.
Yep.
It's
absolutely
over. Absolutely. Some predictions that you have for 2017 in the world of social media. Number one is shift from pure e-commerce to S-commerce. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So basically, right now, everyone is used to going on to Amazon.com or online retailer. Sell, you know, buying something right there. Mm-hmm. Basically, in 2017, we are going to see more and more brands start to work with the social side and actually be able to have a click
instant,
to buy
yeah.
instantly right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
The other big thing is on Facebook, they just introduced the marketplace. Right now, that's kind of more of a Craigslist, more of
yeah.
a,
yeah.
more of a, hey, this is a peer-to-peer shopping area, but I think in 2017 we are going to see the marketplace also blow up with lots and lots of brands coming on board with that as well.
We both provide some pro bono work for the Museum of Broadcast Communications, and I just learned how to. We did a post that was an advertised post for the DVD Hard Rock Coco and Joe and Susie Snowflake. But, you know, traditionally we're running PSAs, which we do at the station. We run PSAs on WGN television and so forth. We do print ads. This is the first time we did something on Facebook where we actually added the Shop Now button, which linked right to Square to make that purchase. So, you know, you've got to think about new and inventive ways to push your products out to the consumer. And it's not just going to be traditional brick and mortar anymore. You've got to be able to do it through Facebook because that's the most visible place people go every single day, 10 times a day.
Yeah, it really is the instead of having to send people an email saying, hey, buy this.
Yeah.
Being able to be right there, push that content out to them, make it so easy that I'm going to buy it.
Right, exactly. Other thoughts for 2017, social media will become even more of a communication tool for brands.
And that's what we were talking about just earlier with Facebook Live especially, but we also saw it just recently with CNN for their voting for CNN Heroes this year was all done through Facebook Messenger. So it was this, you had to send them a note. I think there's some other things behind that where maybe now they're having a little more permission, getting a little more info about some of their users. But really, it's all about that direct communication. Brands have been doing this for a long time on Twitter, but I think we're going to see that more and more on some of these other platforms that have not been traditionally used for that kind of communication.
Three is video, which we talked about. Four is augmented reality and virtual reality will continue to be introduced.
Yep. So augmented reality is something more like the Snapchat filters you'll see where people are, you know, becoming their superhero. The virtual reality side is something where people are taking either 360-degree photos or now video. A recent one that was done was the Goodman Theater did a 360 video of the Fuzzy Wigs celebration during the show, and they actually saw this huge increase in ticket sales after they had that out there for mobile users. It was this new experience.
Number five, social media will continue to become the hub of all media content.
Absolutely. It's going to be video, audio, everything that we see today, maybe on our traditional website. People are going to just start to have it more and more right there on social media all the time. It's easy to connect with the brand. It's easy to connect and share content with the consumer and the brand. So it's a great place.
I belong to a bunch of business leader groups and committees and so forth and some boards. And I hear people talking about all the time is, you know what? I don't need a company to help me do this. I've got my 17-year-old son understands this stuff. He's going to post for me. I'm sure you hear that a lot, too. Just because it's a younger demographic that understands that they're going to have somebody that they trust to do it. But this isn't just about being able to post up a picture and write something up. There's a strategy. Like a company like yours, if you hire Nessic Digital for something, there's a strategy behind what you're doing here.
Absolutely. One of the biggest things that I always say to people when they do give me that, you know, that statement about, well, we have someone internally that can do it. Our intern can do it. Our 17-year-old son could do it,
right,
whoever. And I always say, would you also let that individual write your press releases?
Yeah.
Because that's really what you're doing.
Yeah.
They're actually more and more
scary when they tell you yes.
Right, absolutely. It's your direct to your consumer as a brand. And so is that really, you know, you want to have a strategy in place for that, whether it be something very in-depth or if it's like, hey, I only have a few hours a week to do this or 2 hours a week to do this. Let's come up with a strategy for that. Let's make sure that we can actually
utilize your time.
Absolutely.
The best, absolutely. Justin Kolevsek, he's the managing partner of Nessic Digital on your website.
www.nessicdigital.com.
Thanks, Justin. Happy holidays to you and your family.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, much more ahead on the opening bell.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
It is the opening bell this morning on 720 WGN. Good morning to you once again. It's Dave Plyer in for Steve Grzanich this morning from the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are pointing up. European stocks are mixed. The Nikkei has slipped 0.3%. Oil is trading at $52.33 a barrel. And the Dow is on track for the seventh straight week of gains. Microsoft just scored big with a win of a $927 million contract to provide technical support and consulting for the United States Department of Defense. Back in February 2016, Microsoft secured a huge deal from the Department of Defense to bring the Windows 10 operating system to all 4 million of its employees within 12 months. At the time, Microsoft said it was the largest enterprise deal for Windows 10 ever. And now for the latest on commodities and agriculture, here is Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, David. As we reach midweek on this holiday shortened trading week, soybean futures yesterday to a near one-month low. Rain in Argentina's dry crop belts kept South America on track for a bumper harvest. Rain in Argentina this week easing concerns about stress to corn and soybean crops, and forecasters continue to see record harvests in the nearby fellow exporter Brazil. Chicago corn and wheat also ticked lower thanks to pressure from a stronger U.S. dollar and technical selling. Turning to livestock yesterday at the Mercantile Exchange, lean hogs settled lower for the first time in five sessions, hit by profit-taking and weaker cash prices before packing plants close over the Christmas holiday. February hog contract ended down $2.10 a hundredweight, and yesterday's cash hog prices in Iowa, Minnesota averaged $53.50 per hundredweight in light trading volume. That was down $1.42 from Monday. So there's no question we're into the holiday trading doldrums, and we're expecting to see volatility from now through the new year. We will get the monthly cattle on feed report on Friday. Traders expect that to show a lower number of cattle being placed in feedlots last month. And, of course, this week, markets will close at noon Friday ahead of the Christmas Day weekend. I'm Orion Samuelson. Have a good day.
Thank you, Orion. Now the Associated Bank Desk Market Report outlook for Wednesday, December 21st, 2016. The economy at 9 a.m. this morning, the existing home sales report is due, an economic indicator of both the number and prices of existing family homes, condos, and co-op sales over a one-month period. The existing home sales report is released monthly by the U.S. National Association of Realtors. It's a lagging indicator as it tends to react after the change in mortgage rates. The 12-month rolling total of a new home sales was the best in over 8 years and boosts sales to 85% of the 50-year norm. As for earning reports due today, Chicago-based Accenture, retailer Bed Bath & Beyond, Micron Technology, Paychex Incorporated, Red Hat, and the Finish Line all due today. Today is the beginning of the winter solstice. The winter solstice is the shortest day and longest night of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. It occurs between December 20th and the 23rd. It's also National Fried Shrimp Day, so when you're out for lunch, get yourself some of that. Today is also National Flashlight Day, so celebrate that as you wish. People around the world are also celebrating Humbug Day. With the stresses of the holiday season have piled up, many of us start to feel a little bit like a Scrooge. This day was created to allow us an opportunity to express our frustrations on someone you love. Humbug Day is observed annually on December 21st. And on a more serious note, it's also National Homeless Persons Remembrance Day. Friday on our program, the CEO of Inspiration Corporation in Chicago will join us to talk about what you can do to help the homeless and find a warm place to live in and around Chicagoland. Dean Richards is filling in for Steve Cochran this morning, and we'll turn things over to him next on 720 WGN.